Some of you may have seen a video floating around the internet where it's titled, "If someone doesn't understand privilege, show them this." Has anyone seen that video? It showed up on Facebook feed, Instagram feeds. I've seen it a lot. And basically in this video, a man lines up the participants of a race. He lines them all up at the starting line. And he gets in front of them and he asks them and he tells them, "Hey, I'm about to make a series of statements. And if that statement applies to you, I want you to take two steps forward as a head start." So then he starts to make some statements. First statement he makes is, "How many of you step forward if both of your parents are still married? Some step forward, some stay back." So then he makes another statement, "Step forward two steps if you grew up with a father figure in the home." And so we make statement after statement this way, and some are able to move forward, but some have to stay way back at the starting line, and some have a big head start in life. And what I'd like to do this morning is I'd like to take some of his ideas and kind of add some of my own questions and statements. And instead of you guys walking and stepping forward as if it's a race, I want you to take a pen and paper, hopefully you have one, or somehow mark this. And every time I make a statement that applies to you, I want you to make a tally mark. Okay, so I'm going to make a statement, and I've made these up, I've put them together, and I want you to keep track of how many of these apply to you. So come up with some way, hopefully pen and paper, if you can use your phone, that'll work. But how many of you make a tally mark if both of your parents are saved? Make a tally mark if you have gone to church your whole life. Make a tally mark if you get to go to a Christian school. Mark down if your parents pay for you to go to church activities or camps. Mark down if you have more than one Bible. Make a mark if you are able to read the Bible. Make a mark if you've never had to seriously worry about what's going to happen to you when you die because you know the gospel. Mark down if you have Christian friends. Make a tally mark if you and your family at some time through the week have a family Bible time. You have family devotions where your parents are trying to disciple you. Make a mark if you have in the last month been challenged by someone to memorize scripture. Mark down if you've never feared being persecuted for your faith in Jesus Christ. And so as we went through those, I think I would assume that most of you have quite a few of those tally marks written down. And what I'd like to point out about those things is every statement I just made has little or nothing to do with anything you've ever done or any choices that you have ever made. Right? You are spiritually blessed. You have spiritual privileges that a lot of people in this world do not have. They're not even able to read the Bible. And for those of us who have quite a few tally marks, it would be foolish for us not to realize that we are privileged, that we are blessed. And a lot of times we take all of those things for granted, and sometimes we even start to complain about them, don't we? And we've got to recognize that we've been given a head start, so to speak. We don't like to realize that. We don't like to realize that, hey, we have an advantage over a lot of other people. But how often do we look at other people or we look at the world, look at those who've never gone to church, and we are so quick to judge them? And then we complain about them, and in our own minds, we don't realize how much privilege and how much blessing it is to have grown up in a family where the gospel is preached, where they bring you to church. And we have all these spiritual advantages, but yet so easily and quickly we judge others. And the last thing in our minds is intentionally going out of our way to sacrifice and serve them. I'm going to make reference to a verse that we'll come back to, but in Luke 12, it says, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required." And guys, if you're honest with yourselves, we've been given a lot. So turn in your Bibles to Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. We're going to read those. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every tongue should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And a theme that we see in Philippians chapter 1, one that kind of jumped out at me as I was studying through this passage, is when you let go of your privilege and your rights, like Jesus did, you will joyfully seize eternal opportunities. When you let go of the privileges and rights that maybe you've been blessed with, and you're willing to give them up and lay them aside for the good of other people, you're going to seize eternal opportunities. Father, we come to you and ask that you would open our eyes to the truth of this passage, that despite me, you would allow us to have a clear vision of Christ and his example that you lay out for us in your word. Help us to love him more. Help us to have a greater desire to be like him. That you would help us to let go of our own comfort zone, our own privilege, as Jesus Christ did, who even though he was in the form of God, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, and he served us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to learn this principle in our lives, be thankful for what Christ did for us, and that would overflow into how we live out our Christian lives here on earth. And again, Lord, I just pray that your will would be accomplished this morning and you'd be glorified in Christ's name. Amen. So what I really want us to understand this morning is we have got to let go of our rights and our privileges for the good of other people, to follow the example of Jesus Christ. So how do I do that? It takes submission to God's will. It takes humility. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4, Paul gives a brief explanation and some brief instruction on how to live in humility. And then through the rest of Philippians 2, he gives us some examples. And he starts with the ultimate example, Jesus Christ. In these verses, we see Jesus' humility. So how do you let go of your privilege? First, you must copy the attitude of Jesus. Reread verses 5 and 6 with me. Let this mind be in you, the attitude of Christ, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. First of all, we see that Jesus owned the privileges of deity. Why? Because he's God. That word deity means he is God. He is, his godhood is, Jesus Christ is God. He's deity. And he had all the rights and privileges that that afforded him, but he did not give up his deity when he came to earth. He did not cease to be God. Some people wrongly interpret this passage that way, but Jesus consistently claimed to be God as he walked this earth, didn't he? He claimed to be equal with his Father. But Jesus did not think that his equality with God was worthy to be held on to. He did not think it was, he did not selfishly hold on to that and allow people to die in their sin. He did not hold on to his rights, his privileges, his comfort, and everything that came with him being in the comfort of heaven. He did not see that as something that he should selfishly hold on to. He was concerned for people. And I went to a Christian college. In my college, there were students who were given the privilege of being an RA, a resident assistant. And a resident assistant was a student who was given some leadership responsibilities and privileges in the dorms. My senior year, I reluctantly said yes to being asked to being an RA, because one of the things we were supposed to do was enforce the rules. Okay, now there's two different types of RAs. There's really chill ones, and there's really strict ones. And let's just say that I was not one of the really strict ones. I wasn't chasing people down on the sidewalk and like giving them demerits for like a dress code violation, mainly because I'm a dude and I'm oblivious. I have no clue what some other guy is wearing, right? I'm not going to notice that and chase him down and give him demerits. So I was one of the more chill RAs. And we had a lights out time while I was at school. And one of my jobs was to make sure that the lights out time was being adhered to. People were following it. So the lights were supposed to be off. So, I mean, I would go through the hallway, I'd poke my head in, I'd remind people what time it was. Hey, it's time to go to bed. They'd usually go to bed, but apparently there was another RA in my dorm who was not one of the chill RAs. He did not approve of how thoroughly I checked my hallway. So every night he would come down and he would walk/crawl through my hallway and he would look underneath the doors to see if light was coming through. One time I actually went outside in snow and was looking through windows to see if lights were on. So he was not one of the chill RAs, right? And one of the things that would bother me about being a resident assistant is I would walk through the hallways after lights out, and some of the other RAs would be sitting in the hallway, and they'd be doing their homework. And that always bothered me, because according to the rules, none of the other students were allowed to be up doing their homework. So why should I? Why should I be abusing the privileges that I have just because I have a leadership position? And some other RAs would do that, and it bothered me because they use their privileges for themselves. They would be on a date, they'd come back, and then do all their homework between 12 and 2 a.m. Nobody else was allowed to do that. And guys, Jesus used his privilege for other people. And we've got to have the mind of Christ, and whatever privilege and opportunities we have, we've got to use that for the good of other people. Jesus used his for you and for me. As God, he came and he died for us, and many of us are very privileged people. Our attitude about that privilege must be the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. He was not selfish. Number two, we see that Jesus selflessly let go of his privileges for a season. He temporarily came and humbled himself and came to live as a man on this earth. Look at verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The Greek word that's translated as robbery, it's usually meant a thing that was seized or grasped. So a lot of translations especially translate this, Jesus didn't think his equality with God was something to be grasped or to be held on to. Jesus did not prize his privilege over people. How often do you and I do that? We look down on other people because we've gone to church our whole lives. We know better. They don't. He did not hold on to his privileges at all costs. He let go of his privileges as God. And his attitude was a willingness to let go of those things for you and for me. And guys, we have got to let this mind be in us that we're going to let go of our rights, our privileges, for the good of other people. You must copy the attitude of Jesus. In Luke chapter 12, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. Guys, we saw this morning a lot of us are in a position that is very blessed that we take for granted, and we refuse to read our Bible. We refuse to put down what we have going on in our lives and our comfort and what we want to do and our rights simply to read the Bible. And guys, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. And many of you have realized that you have been given much, and you also need to realize this, much is required of you. You are not to be selfish with all of those things that have been given to you and everything that's been poured into you and all of the opportunities that you have. Like Jesus, your attitude must be, I cannot selfishly hold on to my position and my privilege. I must use it for others. Are you, am I, willing to lay aside my privilege and sacrifice for the good of other people? I want you to stop and think about the last month. If you're honest with yourself, what would the answer have to be? How have you lived the last month? Have you purposely, intentionally sacrificed for other people? Or have you said, hey, you know what? It's my Christmas break. I deserve to do nothing. Hey, it's my Christmas break. I don't need to go out and we're so selfish with our time and all of our things. Let go of your rights and privileges just like Jesus Christ did. He didn't hold on to them and try to get everything he could out of them. How many of you, some of you have heard this illustration before maybe, but I think of this like how some people have found this strategy to catch a monkey. Okay, there's these people who figured out that if you take a cage and inside that cage you put food in it, but when you make this cage you make a hole that's just big enough for a monkey to be able to reach their hand inside when it's open. They grab the peanuts, whatever food you put inside, but they make the hole small enough so when they grip it like a fist, grip that food, they can't pull their hand out. So some of these monkeys are so dense that they will stand there for hours trying to pull their hand out, but they refuse to let go of that peanut, that food, whatever's in there, and they just come back a couple hours later and they pick up the monkey and take him home. They catch him. That monkey thought that that food was worthy to be held on to, and it cost him dearly. It cost him his freedom. But many of us are like that monkey. We hold on to our rights. You know what? I don't have to do that. And we lose opportunities. We're stuck. We're trapped. We're not going to have those eternal opportunities that Jesus had in this passage. We're not intentionally impacting others for Jesus Christ because we're holding on to our own rights, to our own comfort. And guys, we are desperately hindered just like that monkey does. And when we do that, we limit the eternal impact that we can have. You might say, you know what? Oh no, I can't talk to that person. They are very different than I am. We do this. We butt heads. Oh no, I can't talk to that unsaved person because they curse. Guys, they're unsaved. And oftentimes we look down on them for something that maybe they're naive about. And we get so judgmental. And we get so upset. And you might say, you know what? That's bad. I'm good. What if that was Jesus' attitude towards you? And he never came down to this earth to die in your place. So again, guys, how often do we look down on others because they're not as good as we are? And you may not verbalize it, but really examine your heart this morning. Is that in your heart? Do you shut people out because maybe they're different or they're not as good as you are or they haven't had the spiritual blessings and opportunities that you have had to go to church your whole life? To hear the gospel from the time you were 3? To hear the name of Jesus every week, 2 or 3 times a week, you go to a Christian school, and so quickly we can judge those who don't have those opportunities and rights and privileges, and we don't reach out to them. What if an unsaved teenager comes into youth group, or someone comes into church, and they don't behave the way that you think they should? Or they don't behave like they've been in church their whole life? How do you react to them? Do you whisper about them? Do you avoid them? Are you harsh with them? Do you say, hey, you know what? They're past hope. They don't belong here. And we hold on to our rights and our comforts and our close group of friends, and we refuse to go talk to other people who are new or who don't know Christ. And again, guys, how do we respond? Instead of thinking less of others, Jesus thought more of others. He did not find his rights and privileges and comforts worthy to be grasped and to hold on to, but he came down. Let that mind be in you. Has it been this last month? Has it been for me in this last month? Have you ever caught yourself saying something like this? Why should I have to fill in the blank? That person is the one that did fill in the blank. Why should I have to apologize? They're the one who did wrong. Guys, is that the attitude of Jesus? What if when God the Father revealed the plan to Jesus to come down to earth to save him, why should I have to die on the cross? They're the ones that sinned. Guys, so often we are the opposite of the mind of Christ. And we hold on to those rights and those privileges and all those things, and simply having the right attitude towards others is not enough. I've got to have that attitude of Jesus. But this passage takes it further. We must live out what we believe, or it's not really true at all. Look at 1 John 3. Hereby perceive we the love of God. This is how we see the love of God in other people. Because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I had to intentionally lay down my rights and privileges for other people. Verse 17, but whoso hath this world's good? And guys, a lot of us have a lot of physical, earthly good things. As we've established this morning, we have a lot of good things spiritually. And seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. How dwelleth the love of God in him? We've got to have action. We can't just have this attitude. You must copy the attitude of Jesus, but you also must copy the action of Jesus. Let's reread verses 7 and 8. Philippians 2, 7 and 8 say this. But Jesus made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So first of all, we see, what were Jesus' actions? He emptied himself, verse 7. Our Bible translates it as Jesus made himself of no reputation. It could be translated, he made himself nothing. But that word carries the idea of being emptied. Jesus emptied himself, and he did not empty himself of his godhood. Again, he is God, he always will be, he always has been, but he emptied himself into humanity. He came down and he limited himself, he humbled himself and became human, and he gave up the rights and privileges and comforts of being God to become a human baby headed for the cross. Jesus in heaven would never have to die. Coming to earth, he knew he would have to face the death of the cross. He gave that up for you and me. He willingly limited himself when he became a man. How many of you have ever raced like a really young child? You've had a race with them. You've run down a hallway. Most kids love to race. They all hate to lose, right? They have like a big fit if they lose. So when you race a little child, what do you do? Do you full out sprint? And like mock them as you're lapping them? No. Usually you do that like crouch thing and you get down and pretend you're really slow, but really you're fast. Does that mean that you are slow? That you're just as slow as that helpless, chubby, waddling child? No. At any moment, I could burst forth and absolutely demolish that small child in a race, right? I limit myself. I don't. And guys, God willingly emptied himself into humanity for you and for me. At any moment, he could have burst forth in all of his power and glory, but he didn't. Because he knew that he was headed for the cross for you and me. And guys, that has had an eternal impact on all of our lives. It's changed the course of my life. I hope it's changed the course of your life. Are you willing to limit your rights, your comforts, your privileges, and all the things that come with your privilege to intentionally and purposefully impact others? Because the whole context of Philippians chapter 2 is unity and humility and fixed relationships. Here's an example of it. This is what Christ did for us. Are you willing to limit yourself and empty yourself? Will you empty yourself when you see someone younger than you struggling? Spiritually, physically. Will you empty yourself from the comfort of your close circle of friends to go reach out to someone who might be friendless? Who's standing over in the corner by themselves? Who's looking around to talk to someone, but they don't know anybody? Will you empty yourself and let this mind of Jesus Christ be in you to reach out and go talk to them? Will you empty yourself of your comfort when you awkwardly share the gospel with an unsaved friend or invite them to church? Guys, we are so unwilling to sacrifice of ourselves. When you let go of your rights and your privileges, that's when you're going to seize eternal opportunity. I've got to let go of what I think I deserve and reach out to other people, and I'm going to have eternal opportunities. Jesus emptied himself, but then Jesus also denied himself in verse 7. Jesus took upon him the form of a servant. And as I was meditating on this, he was made in the likeness of men, and he used his body, his human body, to serve people. In John chapter 13, he was a servant. The God of the universe washed the disciples' feet. And throughout Jesus' ministry, the disciples were always trying to figure out, hey, who's going to be the most powerful in your kingdom? Jesus, can I be on your right hand and my brother on your left? And Jesus, who was the most powerful person in the kingdom, who is the Almighty One, he stooped and he washed their feet while they were trying to hold on to their rights and privileges. Hey, you know what? I'm better than that. Hey, you know what? I shouldn't have to wash people's feet. Jesus took the form of the lowliest servant in the house and he reached out to them. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that through his poverty we might be made rich. Guys, this is the mind of Christ that we're supposed to have in ourselves. This is what God has done for us. Equal with God, Jesus had every right to comfortably stay where he was and stay in heaven and not have to be susceptible to things of this earth. Why didn't he? Because God so loved the world. And Jesus willingly submitted to the will of the Father. His love for you and for me compelled him to give up his privileged position, his rights, his comfort, to be rejected of men. And yet he served them anyway. As you read through Scripture, you will very rarely see someone serving Jesus. I can think of a couple instances, but most of the time you see Jesus purposely and intentionally serving others. So guys, you may feel like you have the right to stay in your own comfortable bubble, to refuse to serve others, to refuse to serve Christ. After all, when was the last time that person served me? We have that thought a lot, don't we? But why shouldn't you respond this way? Again, I'm going to bring up 1 John 3. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. It's not because of what others have done for you that you serve them, it's because of what God has done for you. I had to lay my life down for each and every one of you. You ought to lay down your life for me and for each other. Because that's what God has called us to do. Equal with God, Jesus had every right to be bowed before. He was on this planet, he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he did not. What did he do? He washed people's feet. He stopped self-righteous crowds of people from stoning an adulterous woman. He healed their illnesses. He fed 5,000 people. He remained quiet while false accusations were being hurled at him. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He served others when few people served him. And you and I have no right to be bowed before, but so often we pretend like we do, don't we? Hey, you know what? How dare they do that to me? You don't know who I am. I'm not going to serve you because you didn't serve me. I have the right to. I have the position. I'm a senior. I'm a junior. I'm class president. Right? We hold on to all these things. I shouldn't have to do that. And guys, you and I must serve people because God served us. Let go of your rights and your privileges. They're not for you, they're for other people. Jesus did not only empty himself. He didn't only give up his rights and privileges and deny himself. He took it further. Look at verse 8. Jesus sacrificed himself. He completely gave himself up. Verse 8 says, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." God, who is life, emptied himself into humanity and became obedient unto death. Guys, that was a result of the sin curse. And Jesus never committed sin. But not only did he allow himself to die, he died the death of the cross. And for us, we don't really get the impact of that phrase. Paul says to these people, even the death of the cross. What does that mean to these people who are so close to that time period? Some of them were probably alive. Crosses are everywhere in our society, aren't they? People wear them as gold earrings. People wear them on gold chains on their necklace. We have them up on steeples in our churches, in our baptistries. Millions of people have cross tattoos. We put them on our shoes. Crosses are everywhere. And for us, it's a sign of victory. Jesus Christ died and had victory over my sin. He paid the price and he rose again. But for the people in this time period, they never would have thought it this way. It was a sign of defeat and destruction. At a religious festival in Brazil, a missionary was going around and he was looking at the different booths. He saw what was for sale, and one of the booths had a big sign across the top and it said, "Cheap crosses." And the missionary thought to himself, you know what, that's what a lot of Christians want in their Christianity today. Cheap crosses. And he thought to himself, you know what, Jesus' cross wasn't cheap, why should mine be? And we want this comfortable Christianity. Have you allowed your faith in Jesus to become cheap? Many people will serve until it costs them something. Jesus sacrificed himself. Does your faith cost you anything? There was a doctor, a pastor, an author, his name was Dr. J.H. Jowett. He said, "Ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing." Jesus sacrificed himself. And again, I'll remind you, no other form of death. A study Bible that I had said this about the cross. No other form of death, no matter how prolonged or physically agonizing, could match crucifixion as an absolute destruction of the person. God went through that for you. He died. Even the death of the cross, it was reserved for the lowest of the low. And yet sometimes we can't get out of bed on Sunday morning to come to church because we're tired. Yet sometimes we can't bring ourselves to turn the TV off or put the video game controller down or put down that book on Saturday night so we'll actually be alert and awake enough to truly worship God on Sunday. Sometimes we can't get over our fear to share the gospel with other people. And Jesus allowed himself from all earthly standpoints to be completely destroyed. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we can't even give up our sports games or our personal hobbies for the sake of coming to church and worshiping God. The one who did all of this for us, Jesus, who is God himself, emptied himself and denied himself to the point of the cross. Guys, let that mind be in you. Deny yourself and sacrifice yourself. So how do you let go of your rights and privileges? You must copy, first of all, the attitude of Jesus and the actions of Jesus. And thirdly, and in closing, you must copy the aim of Jesus. Look at verses 9 through 11. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name. And I'm going to pause. What name did God give Jesus? Look down at verse 11. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that word is the word kurios. It's the word that refers to the Lord and Master of all, Yahweh of the Old Testament. Jesus is Yahweh, that name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every tongue should, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And here are some key words. Here are the aims of Jesus. This is what his goal was, to the glory of God the Father. The whole purpose of the humiliation and exaltation of Jesus Christ is the glory of God. Jesus wanted God to be seen and glorified. And when you let go of your rights and your privileges, just like Jesus did, get out of your comfort zone, you will joyfully seize eternal opportunities. Ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. So as you have the attitude of Jesus, which motivates you to live out the actions of Jesus, we've got to remember the aim of Jesus. His whole purpose was to glorify God. And without that goal and without that purpose, we're not going to have the attitude and we're not going to have the actions. God must be glorified and worshiped. So follow the example of Jesus in these verses and remember the promise of God in this verse. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God gives promises of reward when you have this mind of Jesus Christ in you. Father, we are grateful and are overwhelmed, but probably not as overwhelmed as we should be, that you, in the form of Jesus, came down and sacrificed and emptied yourself and served us. Lord, forgive us for so often serving ourselves rather than you and others, that we would not allow our privileges and our rights to become more important and prized to us than people and souls that are dying and going to spend eternity somewhere. Lord, I pray that this week you'd help us to intentionally sacrifice of ourselves like your son Jesus Christ, that we'd have humility, and that we'd be willing to share you and live out the actions of Jesus Christ, that we'd serve, that we'd empty ourselves, and that, Lord, we would do all to your glory. And Lord, I pray that if there's someone here this morning who is convicted of sin, that you'd give them some time even now to get that right with you, that you'd help them to be committed to a close walk with you. And that again, Lord, we would have this mind of Jesus Christ in us as we live and walk through our lives. And in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. You're dismissed. If you could help put chairs away, that would be great.